wait to see him.
All right. I better start recording. Hang on. Hang on.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Hey, welcome everybody. This is Monday, January 3rd. And I hope you all are recovering from your New Year's weekend. And my name is Winfrey, and this is our Monday night simulcast conference call, DBS. And just before we were on the air, we should have been on the air because we had Gina. Gina just had a reading from Terry, and they told her that she was a dolphin in another lifetime after Lemuria. Now, of course, Gina swims with dolphins and goes click, click, click with them. And so she really related to that. And she was saying, what were you saying, Gina? Now, by the way, if you're a skeptic, we're in Disneyland right now. So I am not saying any of this is true. In fact, I'm not sure if anything we do is true. But you're free to watch, and it's an e-ticket ride, I guarantee. Gina, go ahead.
Well, dolphins are empaths, so they evoke energy from the person they're swimming from, and oftentimes they have brought me to tears as much as I can tear in my snorkel mask, and I telepathize with them. And on a few occasions now, they've attempted to communicate back to me. And one dolphin swam right up to me and went, and then swam off. And twice now, another dolphin blew a bubble right in front of me. And they do it under the water, and it's a big bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that bubble, and the clicking for that matter, is a form of communication. So whatever I'm doing, I'm assuming they like it, and they're responding back.
So in other words, you're in the water, and a dolphin swims under you and blows a big bubble up, and you can feel it pop against your tummy.
No. The dolphin that blew the bubble was directly in front of me, like we were like face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
And the dolphin stopped, and I, of course, just float in the water because you're not really allowed to do anything else when you're near them. This is in the wild, by the way, and in the open ocean. And the dolphin made a bubble, a big bubble, and this is under the water now. And then another time, a dolphin came right up next to me on the side. And
through his mouth? Did he make the bubble through his mouth?
No, they do it through their blowhole.
The blowhole, and that's the blowhole's on the top. Blowhole's on the top of his head, right?
That's the muscular flap that they manipulate like a balloon.
I see.
And all their, cause they don't have any true vocal cords, so all the noises they make are from the blowhole.
Listen, we have people checking in. Excuse me, just a second. Hi, do you want to see who these people are? We're on the air now. We're live on the air.
Well, thank you, Wynn, for letting me share. It's just amazing,
Thank you for sharing. Daphne, are you there?
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Daphne. You know what? We're busy talking about dolphins. And whenever we talk about dolphins, you know what I think of, don't you?
Yes. You think about Book Choy.
Book Choy.
Book Choy.
Yes, you think about
yes.
Book Choy.
Now, wait a second. I want you to know that what happened, I know you guys are listening. Thank you for checking in. What happened was about, you know, if you know the story of the Don and Wynn show, which the archives are still up on BBS Radio, I don't usually talk about it because it's a little embarrassing. Hi, Don. Don is the founder of BBS Radio. And when Don started BBS Radio, somebody told him about me. And I called him up, and I told him my story, and he said, you have the most far-out story I've ever heard, and would you like to do a show? And I said, no. I don't know. What am I going to talk about every week? I didn't know that. I didn't have to figure it out. If I just started talking, it would be okay. But no one would have listened, so there would have been no energy. But what happened is, hi, guys. thank you for coming. I'm going to say hello to you in a second. What happened was I dictated my story into a tape recorder, a little cassette. I sent it to Don, and he played it. Probably nobody listens, but he played it. And then he kept calling me, and we had these very interesting dialogues. And I said, one day I recorded one of our conversations, and I sent it to him. I said, Don, why don't you just play this and call it the Don and Wynn Show? And so he did. And we started a regular thing of just BSing for an hour on BBS. And then one time, of course, there's this historic event where I invited Daphne. Daphne was living in Cape Cod. And I invited her to be a guest on the show because I wanted her to see that other people found what we had done relevant. And so we were interviewing her, and of course, in the middle of it, she suddenly says, those guys want to talk to you. And suddenly we have the Council of 12, which is part of the Elohim or a subset of the Elohim, communicating, perhaps for, you know, to a public audience for one of the first times. And so and every so often, Daphne would come on the show, and of course, Don was always saying, hey, channel, talk. So one time, the voice that identified itself through Daphne, now, you know, they described Daphne as a cosmic... Daphne, are you there? Hello, Daphne? Wait a second.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Daphne, are you there? Hello?
I am here, but you have to give me a few minutes. I'm kind of in the middle of something. Can we come back to this?
We could. But listen, before we come back to it, are you there?
I am.
Would you do a dolphin sound for Gina? You make really good dolphin sounds.
Really good dolphin sounds. Okay. Hold on a second.
Okay. Well, see you later. Okay.
Did you just talk to Flipper?
So
that
brings us right into tonight's topic. What does it mean to be a human? Thank you, Daphne. And who knows? Maybe Buck Joy will say hello to us tonight. So we had this voice that came through Daphne that identified itself as Buck Joy, and then every so often Don would be on the Donna Wynn Show and said would make a comment like, "Hey, how's that Chinese cabbage dolphin doing?" So, this is how this all got started. And, of course, we have a really interesting show tonight. And some of you checked in before I was busy talking. So anyone like to say their name in the city?
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis. I just got out of Reiki class. I'm on my way home.
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Anyone else?
Hi, it's Nancy in Philadelphia.
Hi, Nancy. Nancy Braggin.
Yes. Hello.
Hey. And you're on Easton Road, right? Near Villa Grove, right?
I am. I'm not far from there. Mm-hmm.
Is Villa Grove still there?
Suzanne in Columbus, Ohio.
Who's in Columbus?
Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi,
Willow Grove was the poor man's Disneyland about 10 miles out of Philadelphia, which is where I used to go when I was a kid all the time.
I did, too, when I was a kid. It was the most wonderful place. It's now a shopping mall.
Is it? Oh, it's no longer Willow Grove Park, huh?
Well, the mall is called Willow Grove Park Mall.
I see.
And the lake is still there, but there's a giant mall. Remember the Alp?
The Elf?
Willow Grove Park, the Alp, the roller coaster.
Oh, yeah. All right. It's always good to hear people that ground me back to my Philadelphia roots. You know,
Philadelphia freedom?
Would you like to hear the biggest mistake of my childhood?
Yeah.
The biggest mistake was when I graduated high school, I went to Berkeley, and then I used to go back to Philadelphia, and I worked at a TV station, which was WHYY, which was at 46th and Market.
Sure.
And it used to be WCAU, and WHYY was the educational station. So I worked for WHYY when they first took that building over, and there was all the old stuff from WCAU in the building. And they were just telling people to take what you want home. So guess what I took home? I took home the original bandstand logo. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Took it home, and about a week later, I gave it to a woman to impress her. That's my mistake.
Oh, my God.
I hope she kept it anyway and sold it for $100,000. It was, I can't remember what it looked like now. But there was all this paraphernalia. This was before Bandstand was even a network show. It was just a local Philadelphia show to begin with. And I had their logo and gave it away a long time ago. Who else is on the line?
This is Maya. I just joined you on the phone. I've been listening to you on the air online, and it just stopped like a minute ago. It completely stopped online. I only can hear you on the phone.
Nice to have you, Maya. I was also in Hawaii. And is Dale listening? Hi, Dale, if you're hearing. Okay. Dale is Maya's roommate. Anyone else want to say hello?
It's Michael in San Diego.
Hi, Michael. Michael.
Raleigh in San Diego also.
Who is that in San Diego?
Raleigh. Fallbrook, San Diego.
Fallbrook. The Avocado Festival place.
Correct.
Yeah. And you know why I know that, don't you? You know why I know?
No.
Because for quite a few years of my life, I sold tapes at every festival in Southern California. So I am an expert. Who else is on the line?
Hi, this is Jean.
Wait a second. Who said hi? This is who?
Jean in South Dakota.
Hi, Jean. Okay.
Hello.
And who else is on the line?
Andrea from Michigan City, Indiana.
Hey, Andrea.
Hello.
It's always a pleasure to have you. You're so sensitive, and now you're getting bold as well as sensitive.
Maybe.
Well, look at this. You're on the air right now, and everyone's hearing you. Now, that's just that is bold, isn't that?
A little bit.
A little bit.
I hold that bold talk for one fat man.
All right. And who
that's
else?
True grit.
Chris, go back in your cage. And
okay. Yes, sir.
And who else? Who else is on the line? No one. Okay. Well, let me mute everything.
There were nine other people.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Michael, I know you said something, but it's gone. You know, I put a headline tonight on what it means to be a human. And, you know, one of the things that we're doing on these calls is we are enjoying each other's humanness. When I first was faced with, how do I do this? I mean, put yourself in my position. You got, for 3 years, this was in 2002 to 2005, I have a voice coming through two people who I am personally connected with that says it's the Council of Elohim. And they say, they're telling me, they created the physical realm. And that all I'm doing is asking them questions. And throughout history, the word Elohim has been a word which is used in the Old Testament for God, and in the Mormon religion for God, and they say they're part of the same. So it's not easy to validate that they are who they say they are, on one hand, except by the way they answer questions. And what's that? I hear some static on that. By the way, they answer questions. And so all they did was tell me to ask questions. They didn't tell me to go out and... Wait a second here.
All callers are muted.
Okay. Somebody had their... I was unmuted, so I just muted them. So we've had the opportunity to ask them all kinds of questions. I've had that opportunity. And there's a pattern of how things work that's developing. And at some point, I'd like to put together another book because there's this explanation for the way life works, for the way they interact with life, who they are, who we are. A lot of bits and pieces of it I've never heard put out before. And before we do a channeling, let me just review some of the stuff. Quick review. This is like little data points from many different channelings. And you'll see that how it creates a mosaic that is quite different from anything I've ever heard. And first of all, at the beginning of the universe, there were just energies. In fact, there was nothing, and nothing became aware of itself and could subdivide.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
And could become individuated. So you have these individuated pieces of energy, or bits of energy, of intelligence. And these original energies were what has explained itself to be the Elohim. And they didn't think of themselves as God. They thought of themselves as, they were aware of themselves, and they were aware of each other, and they enjoyed interacting with each other. They were having fun. And as part of having fun, they started to learn how to concentrate their energies, how to project their energies so there would be form. Now, if you can imagine this, everything started with no time. And as soon as there's awareness, the first bit of awareness is also the beginning of time, because awareness has to look at how you were and what you're becoming. So you're in a flow. So time is required. And so now... these energy forms are creating time, and they're creating persistence. I don't want to repeat the stuff that's happened in other conversations, but the persistence of the casting of energies and frequencies of two or three of them together would interlock and create persistence. So there was the beginning of the physical universe. And, of course, we learned the excitement of Amoeba Sachs a few months ago, which was their first thing of interchange of energies. And then the DNA was, I don't know if DNA was created by the Elohim, it probably was. And DNA was the building block for life forms. And one breakthrough bit of answer that came about DNA was when I asked, how does DNA, how does a soul get connected to DNA? How does a soul get connected to our genes? And they said that the DNA, if I'm getting this right, remember, I may have this wrong, but I'm using my memory here, the DNA has the unique ability to pull energy out of nothingness and give it form. Imagine that for a moment. DNA created energy out of nothingness, and that energy would have a form. We're not talking about a body form. We're talking about an energy form. And my understanding was that energy form that surrounded the DNA in the body was the soul. And the soul was created from the DNA, which whoever created the DNA created the individuation. And that once that form was created, when the body died, the form would continue. And it retained the DNA imprint until it reoccurred again in another physical body. Now, I have never, ever heard that in all my study of spirituality. And yet, it makes sense. How did creation work? Where did we come from? And then, of course, I don't know if we talked about this on a Monday night, but there were advanced Elohim that came into this realm. And that apparently, once they were in this realm, they didn't remember they were Elohim, I don't think. And many of them became service to self because they had a lot of power and control over the other created beings in this realm. And they were called the Anunnaki. And when you read in the Bible, the sons of God mated with the daughters of men, that would have been the Anunnaki. When you read about many of the gods, sub-gods of Greek history, many of them were very likely these Elohim souls that came into this realm that had a lot of power and took positions of gods over the people who were still evolving. And who were the people that were evolving? Well, the information is, this came through one of my channelings, it's also come through historically, Zachariah Sitchin, who is a scholar who has studied Sumerian wall carvings and whatever, and he's put together a history of the past from an archaeological point of view. And where did the original humans come from? Now, some of you are going to be disappointed when I tell you this, and maybe this isn't true. Remember, we're in Disneyland now. I don't say anything is true, although there's a lot of evidence that it just could have been this way, and that is these Anunnaki, who were the descended Elohim into this realm 4 million years ago, were on Earth, and they would have spaceships. They would travel around from here to there and everywhere, and they were on Earth, and they were mining gold, and they genetically engineered humans to be their slaves to do the manual labor of mining gold. And when they did this original engineering, there was a design to keep the DNA strands at an opening of two. Now remember, there's 12 strands of DNA, and scientists think of DNA as being junk DNA. Here's another thing we've learned on these calls, is that DNA, all those 12 strands of DNA, each one is like an antenna to a greater hologram of the universe. And the first seven relate to your chakras. So if you engineer somebody to only have the first two strands of DNA activated, what do you have? You have sex and survival. Those are the first two strands. You don't even have power, which is the third strand, or heart, which is the fourth strand. So humans were genetically designed to operate under sex and power, except, now here's another bit of information that came through Daphne, through sex, over millenniums of time, the interchange of sex and became an interchange of love, and the loving energy created more strands of DNA to open. You see, DNA strands open when it's in the energy of the chakra that it represents. In other words, for example, if you're a human that has two strands of DNA open, sex and power, and your next growth phase is to have your third strand open, or your fourth strand, which is power and heart, you need to be in an environment where there's power demonstrated. Power is an energy that comes out of your solar plexus. Martial arts people use that as a projection. So you need to be in an environment where power is expressed, because that being in that environment opens up your third chakra, or your power chakra, which then activates your third strand of DNA. To begin with, you're on the intake of energy, and then when that strand holds its openness, you can hold that energy out. It would be like, to get your heart chakra open, you need to receive love, receive love, receive love, feel loved. It could be loved by your parents, loved by an intimate relationship, loved by a guru. But it goes through your heart chakra, and it activates, you can feel loved on these phone calls. It activates your fourth strand of DNA, and as it's activated long enough, then it holds its own activation, and you can now put out love so that other people can activate. This is the game of higher evolution on this planet, to be able to get people not to believe in something, but to activate and hold the space of higher DNA strands. That's what Jesus did. He held many strands open, and the people around him could feel the energy, and they evolved into loving spaces because of that. So there was the desire of the higher forces, we call them the Elohim group and the Ra group, to evolve humans, not just let them be two strands. The problem with being two strands of DNA in sex and survival, the root chakra, the problem with that is that that whoever has their third chakra activated can control you. They have power over you. You have no resistance to their power. That's how you create a slave. But it didn't last, because according to the information and history that I've read, the humans became quite rebellious, and there were all these attempts to keep them in check. And eventually, there were two factions. One wanted to get rid of all the humans, and one that wanted to evolve them into divine beings. And then many of the beings from higher realms that are positively disposed came into this realm, and this has been going on for millions of years, and here we are. Some of us on this planet are part of the evolution of those original humans. Some of us are wanderer star seeds who came in from other planets and other dimensions and chose to take bodies here. You know, there's many, many different interplanetary races that are having bodies on Earth. And, I wonder if the Native Americans were part of that original two-strand original human. I wonder who represents that. Well, guess what? We're going to find out tonight. And who would have a show where that could be found out? You guys are here. And, of course, say it again. You know, we don't say any of this is true. And if you have a strong belief system of the way things work, you're welcome to listen and consider this, and you're welcome to discard it because we're not claiming any of it. So, on that note, are you there, Terry?
Yes, I am.
No, I'm just curious. Daphne, are you there? Hello, Daphne. Okay. Gina, 1 week, we're going to have Buck Choi say hello to you, and you and Buck Choi can have a conversation on this line. Gina lives in Hawaii, and she was telling us at the beginning of the show, her main joy in life is swimming with dolphins, and she interacts with them, and she had a reading from Terry last week, and they told her that she was a dolphin after Lemuria went down. So I already suspected that very strongly, but they confirmed it. And then she's looking forward to swimming with the dolphins and communing with them. So in any case, let's ask some questions about...
Hey, Vin.
Yeah.
Daphne might not be able to unmute herself. Or...
Oh, that's right. I muted everybody.
All callers are unmuted. All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
All right, Daphne, are you on the line? Star 6, if you want to say something.
Hi, I tried to get in there, but it wouldn't let me get in.
Oh yeah, well, earlier there was some background noise, and so I muted everybody. And, Now, I'm not putting you on the spot, okay? I'm just making the question. Does Buck Choi want to say hello to Gina?
That we have to ask him, huh?
Yeah.
Let's see. I guess I feel him around. Okay. Sometimes I have to translate for him. Let's see.
Should I call in the light before you do this?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect all people on this line, Daphne, Terry, myself, and everyone listening, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the planets, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group consciousness, a blending of energies, emerging into oneness while maintaining the individual sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, operating in the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And if you take a moment, shut your eyes, take a moment of silence and feel the space and the energy that we've just invoked. And now that we have a protected space, we started out seeing this bok choy. When I say bok choy, I say the voice that identified itself as bok choy through Daphne. We may all just be crazy, and that's okay. It said it was a dolphin, and that we haven't really spoken to bok choy for a few years. And we just thought we'd see if he would say hello to us.
I don't know if he's going to speak in dolphin or have me translate into English. Hold on. Okay, but I'm going to close the door because my aunt's going to think I'm... Hey, hold on a second. My mom's flying into Boston from Boston and then was flying to Phoenix, so she can't think that I'm too rattled here. Okay, now what's he saying? Let's see what he's saying. Okay, he's not as playful and joyful as he usually is. He's he's saying that he's concerned about what's going on right now. He's concerned about what's happened down in the Gulf of Mexico. He's concerned about the warming trends in some parts of the ocean. And basically just the oceanic and just earth disturbances that are happening in so many parts of the world. And in general that the humans are not aware, most of them are not aware. They're still going about life kind of like it's 30 years ago. Consume, and I think they feel a little sad, they feel a little frustrated, they feel like there's not a lot of time left to try to explain their case. In some instances, there have been massive beachings of the whales, and I think of some dolphins in some parts of the world. And they've been trying to say their piece, and only a few people are understanding it. You want to ask some questions?
Yeah. 737. We'll just ask one or two questions, because we'll go back to Terry, but we might do this again and schedule bok choy for kind of a major part of the show to talk to us. Bok choy, I hope I'm saying his name right. Thank you for coming. And what part of the world are you swimming around in?
Right now he's saying the South Pacific, near Fiji, I guess.
Near Fiji?
Yeah.
Are you in a pod?
He's connected with one.
Mm-hmm. Are there other people on the planet that you talk through or talk to, like you're doing right now with Daphne? Is this fairly rare?
They're about seven.
About seven?
Hmm?
Now, can all dolphins do this, people? Or are you kind of exceptional in some way?
No, there are others. There are others.
But how about all or just some?
Some.
Some? What distinguishes a dolphin to give them the ability to talk to and through a human?
It has to be on their kind of scholastic track the same way that for humans, you know, you have certain subjects? Some people specialize in mathematics. Some people specialize in economics or English or music. It's a specialty.
Mm-hmm.
Interspecies communication. Yeah.
Well, I know you're concerned about the quality of the oceans. And, you know, every Sunday we do a grid healing. This Sunday we did one. And we hope you'll be energetically present on our grid healings.
They are. The dolphins are. They appreciate the work that you're doing. And they hope that many others will do this work as well. They're really hoping for this.
Well, you know, when we send the light to the dolphins on Sunday, maybe we'll have you, if Daphne wants to, say a few words to the group on behalf of the dolphins and help enhance the affinity.
Yep, that's a good thing to do.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And by the way, I wanted to mention that on Sunday, Hives was on the line, and I remember he put his son in the light because his son had a, what did he call it? He called it a, can't remember the name now. Like
wart.
What was it, Hive?
Wart.
A wart. How long has he had the wart?
For, I guess, a year or so.
A year. And we put it in the light, and they said they would work on it. And he didn't know that we did. Did he know that you did this?
Yes, in between, after I asked, I called him over and I told him if it's okay if I did this. He said, that's great. And then so he was aware of it.
And so this is one day later, and you've noticed a difference in the wart, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wife called me and she said, okay, I can't believe it, his warts are disappearing.
In one day. And this is like, for a year, there's been no change, right?
Correct.
Okay, thanks for sharing that. All right. Come to our Sunday grid healings. I mean, things happen like this. We may be on a Disneyland e-ride, but then you figure it out when things like that happen, because they happen all the time. And, you know, Hive has been obviously greeting people at the beginning of the calls. He's come to all the calls. People that really want a miraculous thing to happen have to learn to connect with the energies. And the way you'll do that is just keep coming back. And it's not like, please help me, I'm empty. You'll start to feel the vibe on the line, and you'll feel the connection with our sources. Now, 7:41, we have 9 minutes.
This is Carrie. I would like to send my love to Bob Choi.
Okay.
It's appreciated. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, one time I was in, let me not talk because then we won't have any time, and we wanted to ask a few questions to Ra'an through Terry. And is that okay, Terry? Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not going to call the light in again. We'll just do it quickly. Like, light, let's bring the energies together. Let's bring the space of oneness. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra'an. 3rd of January, 2011. Do you have questions?
Have you been monitoring our topic tonight?
Not that closely.
Not that closely?
What questions do you have?
All callers are muted.
Well, we were talking about the nature of a human, and to my understanding, you could say there are two main categories of humans on this planet. There are the humans that were created by the Anunnaki gold miners 44 million years ago. And there are the humans who were the wanderers from all the different planetary systems. They're not wanderers. They're actually receded. Beings that didn't graduate, planets that had exploded, Maldek, Mars, and others that ended up coming in for incarnations. So now you have beings from other planets that are taking human bodies, and you have beings that were part of the original 4 million years ago creation of humans, and then you have Anunnaki and spacemen who were downward flowing former Elohim. Now, do I have that all right in general?
There were different influences back then. Yes, there were the Anunnaki who did the gold mining. And there were the species that were developed to work in the mines and were seeded in the area of Africa. Then there were other races, Caucasian from other planets, Caucasian looking from other planets that did space runs to pick up gold from Earth at the time.
Were the Pleiadians Caucasian?
Yes.
And were the Sirians Caucasian?
The Sirians? How do you spell Sirian?
Sirian. S-I-R-I-A-N.
They were not the blonde Caucasian type. The Pleiadians were not Caucasian, but they were of the Caucasian looks.
Mm-hmm.
And the Syrians were more of a darker, more olive skin and more darker hair.
Uh-huh. Now, how about Native Americans? And how about black people? Where did they come in on this scale or on this?
They were seated in Africa. The black individuals were seated in Africa as they could take the heat, and their skin was very resilient to the environment.
Uh-huh.
The Indians in indigenous tribes were seeded from different groups that were off planet that wished to colonize and to start a new life. Some of them were also Syrian. They were genetically bred to be able to withstand, more particularly, the environment in the Earth plane.
Tell me, today, what happened to the original humans that were created by the Anunnaki? where are they today? Are they mixed up with everything? Is just everything one big hodgepodge of DNA mix-up? Or is there an indigenous group that could be said to be them?
Some individuals were moved here from Meldek after Meldek exploded and had the more higher four. They had a different forehead and they were planting themselves in various parts of Africa and North and Europe.
Now, according to Carla Rucker, the first Maldekians that came here were actually there was some kind of intervention by the Ra group, and they came in as Cro-Magnon man. And
this is the name we are searching for. Yes.
Yes.
This is the name. They came in. Go ahead.
The way it was put in the Carla Rucker materials is they came in as a twist. They were, when Maldek exploded, there was a twisted mass of fear that they were all stuck to each other, so to speak, and that they were trying to untangle them. And the first step was the Cro-Magnon man here as their individuation out of the tangled mess. But what happened to the original two-stranded humans that were genetically engineered by the Anunnaki?
They intermixed with other groups that had come here to start outpost civilizations in the Earth density, and they became the races we know today.
Mm-hmm. I see. So they didn't retain their individuation from that mm-hmm. time. They're part of everything else and mixed in.
Yes.
In other words,
the Cro-Magnon man gradually disappeared and the human were taking the forefront.
And so the Maldekians became
the individuals.
We're going to have to go. We're like at 7:51. One question I wanted to say was, the Maldekian souls that came in as the Cro-Magnon man, that was an intermediary step, and eventually they occupied the human bodies. Is that what happened?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, it's 7:52. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, all of you who are listening on the replays and are participating in the energies here. And thank you so much, Daphne, for risking the making funny noise in your aunt's house. And thank you, Buck Choi. And we will see some of you Wednesday when we ask questions live that you submit. Questions at messageaday.net. And thank you, BBS. Thank you, Gary. Thank you. Hi. Thanks, everyone who's been volunteering so that we can do these shows and get them out to people. I'm going to stop the tape recording.
You stop conference recording, press 1. Your conference recording has stopped.